The following is a presentation of the American College of Osteopathic Internists.
Welcome to the 2017 Internal Medicine Board Review Course, sponsored by the American College of Osteopathic Internists. The course was held March 22nd through 26th, 2017, at the JW Marriott Las Vegas Resort and Spa. The course featured nationally known speakers presenting a wide variety of topics of interest to the internist preparing for certification or recertification in the specialty of internal medicine. Allergy immunology board review questions are presented by Drs. Timothy Craig and Brian Martin.
Okay, we have some board review questions for you, for those that have their phones ready. Your patient comes to you with a two-week history of small, painful red bumps on the left arm and hand. These last for several days and leave a bruise as they heal, and you suspect. And your answers, anyone willing to answer it?
None.
There we go.
Okay, so let's go back. Can we go back?
Yeah.
Oh.
They can, but...
Yeah, so let's look at them. Urticaria usually lasts a day, not longer than that. It usually resolves, so if had any erythema or any kind of purpura, so you would kind of exclude that. Angioedema, you don't get a... You usually is no erythema, no bruising. Contact dermatitis, again, you don't get purpura or ecchymosis or a bruise. Cellulitis kind of presents totally different. So you would worry about here is vasculitis. That is a lesion that could be even looking like urticaria, but leaves ecchymosis or purpura behind or persists for a longer time, and that would be indications for skin testing.
Okay. Next question is, Mr. Smith, a 37-year-old patient presents with intermittent swelling of the hands bilaterally. When it occurs, he has difficulty with his work as a mechanic. What is your best screening test? Okay, comments?
Yeah, I feel that I should like. So this answer is wrong. This isn't my question. I didn't put this in. So let's go back to it. So C1 esterase, I told you would miss 15%, right? That's the same reason with C1 esterase inhibitor is the same as C1 esterase. CH50 is for complement deficiencies. C3 would be more for lupus. C1 esterase inhibitor function would be the answer here. But the better screening test that says screening would be C4. And I think that's how the answer got distorted to C3. So the best screening test should be C4 because the functional assay, C1 esterase inhibitor, even though you would pick up both type 1 and type 2, is much more difficult and labor intensive and more expensive than a C4.
But for test taking reasons, this word screening is really important. So when you're taking the test, make sure they're asking you, or make sure you understand, are they asking you for a screening test or a diagnostic test?
So it's C4, though, not C3, right?
Screening would be C4, diagnostic.
So this wasn't either one of your questions?
I don't...
So if you wanted to differentiate between acquired versus hereditary angioedema, is that the only time you would do a quantitative C1?
Yeah. But
there
was not a quantitative C1 on there, right?
Well,
yeah, I think it was, I guess some put in C1 esterase, but it should have been C1Q, right? So C1Q allows you to determine acquired, it's only 75%, we're having that normally, you miss 25%. But they'll have the low C1 inhibitor function, low protein, low C4, plus a C1Q, and that's how you distinguish that from hereditary.
Okay, next question. Please. Which of the following is most likely to be IgE mediated? A, difficulty breathing after aspirin ingestion. B, shortness of breath while in the dental chair with a latex dental dam in place. C, diffuse erythema red band after vancomycin. D, dry chapped cracked hands after using latex gloves for a week. Or E, reaction to radio contrast materials during an X-ray procedure.
So this is mine. So the question here is, are these things IgE-mediated or not IgE-mediated? And we actually went through, aspirin is typically not IgE-mediated, vancomycin is typically not IgE-mediated, that dry chapped cracked hands after using latex gloves for weeks is typically a contact irritation, and that radio contrast, again, is not IgE-mediated. So the only answer that works here is mucous membrane exposure to latex, which is a very effective way of engendering a reaction to latex.
Some materials can cause systemic reactions by the direct activation of mast cells, leading to the release of mast cell mediators without any influence of IgE. Which of the following is most likely to do so?
And this is the same thing, bingo. Opioids are the most likely to do so.
Ms. Jones, 29, has a history of recurrent sinus infections and bronchitis over the past 3 years. These infections seem to be getting worse, closer together. You suspect a primary immunodeficiency. What test is most likely to provide a diagnosis?
And we paid attention. So you have to say, what is it that she's got? She has recurrent sinus infections and bronchitis. She has bacterial infections. So if you have bacterial infections, you suspect that this is an antibody problem. And so the first thing you want to look at is her quantitative immunoglobulins to make sure that she has appropriate immunoglobulins and she makes them appropriately.
Okay. Next question. You suspect your patient has poor function of his phagocytes. You order a nitroblue tetrazolium test. What color will normal phagocytes turn the NBT?
And you got it. You reduce it from yellow to blue.
Okay. What is the preferred treatment for selective IgA deficiency?
And this is something I tried to concentrate on, that we don't have a replacement therapy option for IgA deficiency.
Okay. FDA-approved treatment for food allergies include subcutaneous immunotherapy, sublingual immunotherapy, oral immunotherapy, daily small doses of the offending food, or none of the above.
Yeah. Perfect. You got it. Now you don't. So there is no approved FDA. There's a lot of research going on with oral dosing as well as what it was referred to, patch transdermal desensitization, but nothing's really approved at this time.
Every option on here is being studied or has been studied, but none are approved by the FDA yet.
Okay. Which population of severe asthma patients would most likely respond to, you said?
Mepolizumab
treatment.
So this is anti-IL-5, mepolizumab. Anti-IL-5 is what causes eosinophils to hang out in the tissues and to replicate. Let's go through the distractus. Patient with high IgE and positive dust mite allergies, that would be for omalizumab. A patient with elevated periostin, that would be for anti-IL-13, but that test is not available any longer, and it's only in a research study. Patient with mainly neutrophils and the sputum? Nope, that's not the answer either. There is no good therapy for asthma with those who have neutrophils. All severe asthmatic patients may respond? Nope. So the answer would be the patient with, despite inhaled steroids, still has sputum eosinophils or blood eosinophils. We don't get sputum eosinophils, so blood eosinophils. So the patient would be a patient with persistence of eosinophilia, despite inhaled steroids, who has severe asthma, and they would be then a candidate for that drug.
Of the following, which is now indicated for chronic urticaria?
Jeez, who made these questions? I didn't make these, but these are great questions. So urticaria, it kind of contrary to what I said, is a autoimmune disease involving mast cells, and mast cells release the histamine. So mepolizumab is against IL-5, so eosinophils, that wouldn't be the answer. The next one, lebrikizumab, is actually anti-IL-13 and anti-IL-4, so again for eosinophils. The next one is also for eosinophils, and the last one is for anti-IL-1. So the answer here would be omalizumab. Even though there's no IgE and antigen here, as you need for asthma indication, it works very well with urticaria because it downregulates the receptors, causing the mast cell to stabilize. So omalizumab is a indicator for urticaria that's refractory to antihistamines.
The best screening test to distinguish hereditary angioedema from acquired angioedema associated with a lymphoma is?
Okay. So someone repeated that question. So that's good because now we can clarify it. So everybody got it right. C1q, like he said, acquired. CH50 for immunodeficiency. C1 esterase inhibitor function is positive, but is abnormal in both groups, but isn't a good screening test because of its cost. C1 esterase inhibitor protein, you would miss 15%. So obviously the best choice here would be C4. Jeez, not our questions. Someone's making these up, so exclude that answer.
C4 is the screening test.
Oh, wait. Hold it, go back. This is right. So the best screening test to distinguish hereditary from acquired, that's right, C1 is the answer.
We should read the question. I didn't put that in.
But it's a good question.
Well, that looks like the last question. I'd like to thank Dr. Craig and Dr. Martin once again.
Hey, I just want to stress, so hereditary C4, distinguishing between hereditary and acquired C1, since that the questions were backwards here. Thanks, sorry.
I have one parting thought, and that is what Tim and I just did reading that question shows what you can do when you're taking an exam. If you don't understand the question, read the question carefully, so that you understand what the question really is asking. So if it doesn't make sense to you initially, go back and just carefully read through the question and remember that everything you need to answer the question is going to be there for you.